As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to the latest edition of Head of the Pack. I'm Matt Schneidman here with Bill Huber. Coming to you live from Lambeau Field after the Packers' 24-10 win over the Washington football team. Remember when the Packers lost 38-3 to the Saints in week one? That seems like a figment of our imagination, a distant moment of the past. Packers are 6-1 now with a massive, massive, massive trip to Arizona coming up on a short week. Packers at Cardinals Thursday night. Cardinals are the only undefeated team left in football. It wasn't pretty today, but that's been kind of the MO for the Packers over the last month, month and a half. The offense isn't clicking on all cylinders, but the defense is starting to find a groove, and that's where I think we should start. All the talk this week was about how bad the red zone defense had been, and rightfully so. You know, 15 opponent trips into the red zone this season, 15 opponent touchdowns. ESPN Stats and Info had a good nugget. Packers were the only team in the last 40 years to not get a red zone stop in the first six games of a season. Today, they got four stops, 3 points allowed, two turnovers on down, one interception, 19 plays for Washington in the red zone, no penalties, no touchdowns. Pretty impressive.
Can I be Debbie Downer?
Sure.
Sure. Let's rain on the parade here. So that first red zone stop, Tyler Heinicke could have walked into the end zone. There's a defensive guy within like 10 yards. Well, no, I'm exaggerating. Probably within 5 yards of him, and he dives toward the goal line and comes up short. What are you doing? So that's a touchdown, right? I mean, there's a touchdown there. There's another one, the second red zone shortcoming. You know, there's an asterisk on that one, too. I don't know. I mean, they played a crappy offense. I realize there's some of their defensive guys are hurt. I don't know. I'm not going to say that the red zone problems are even remotely close to solved, right?
I would agree. You know, that rule's dumb. The giving yourself up. I mean, whatever. He wasn't trying to give himself up to, or maybe he was trying to give himself up to avoid contact. Whatever. The Packers still, you know, stuffed Heinicke on that 4th-and-1. Adrian Amos had a nice pass breakup on 4th down. Jandon Sullivan, with his dad in attendance for the first time in his NFL career, Sullivan tweeted after the game, picks Heinicke off. And then on the 4th red zone trip, 2 sacks and 3 plays that push him back 21 yards from a 1st-and-goal at the 9. Yes, listen, I agree, because Washington is not Arizona. Washington is not Kansas City. Well, they might be Kansas City because the Chiefs kind of stink. I agree that it's not all hail the red zone defense, but it's a step in the right direction. And we got to remember, they did it today without Preston and Zadarius, without Jair and Kevin. So for who they have on the field, I would say it's pretty admirable what they did today. But yeah, you know, a questionable rule went in their favor. But other than that, they came up with some timely plays, and it'll be a lot tougher against Arizona. But a good step in the right direction, and it'll give us something else to write about since we don't have to write about the red zone defense anymore.
Yeah, the one play I forgot was just before the Amos pass breakup in the end zone. Heinicke throws a great ball to Terry McLaurin.
Hits him off his face mask.
So you got one of the best receivers in football. I can't even say he dropped the ball, but I mean, it should have been a touchdown. So you got the Heinicke scramble and the McLaurin helmet play. I mean, at that point, Green Bay could have been 17 for 17 or 0 for 17, I guess, how you want to look at it. But you're right. You do have to weigh everything by who's out there. You're right. I mean, that's your best pass rusher. One of your best pass rushers with Preston. You're all-pro cornerback. That's hard. That's hard playing defense that way. I have no idea who's going to suit up against Arizona on Thursday, but kind of going with what Ryder said a week or so ago, they're like playing with house money with all the wins they've got, considering all the guys out of the lineup.
It is impressive. Another thing I wanted to touch on, the offense, obviously, I think the word Rodgers used was close. The offense is close. Matt LaFleur said something like, you know, it seems like one thing is always a little bit off. They haven't scored 30 points since week 3 against the 49ers. They haven't had to since they haven't really gotten into a shootout. Their defense has played well, but it's against Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Burrow, an exception. The Bengals are a wagon right now. They put up 41 on the Ravens today. But then the Bears and now the football team. Their next couple games are against Arizona, Kansas City, Minnesota, Seattle with Russell Wilson, the Rams, the Browns. I mean, is this offense equipped to win a shootout? That we might find out in 4 days.
It's not going to be in 4 days, because I don't think Bakhtiari is going to play in 4 days. I just can't imagine. They're going to have one half-ass practice on Tuesday. I just can't believe Bakhtiari is going to play. So they're probably not equipped to win a shootout with this offensive line. But they just got to get to December and January with their guys. If you get Bakhtiari and Josh Myers and put those guys out there and you put Jenkins back at left guard, yeah, then these guys are equipped to win a shootout. Give Aaron Rodgers time. I mean, there were guys open all day long, but Rodgers is getting hammered the first half because it was a jailbreak. Their offensive line wasn't very good against a D-line with four first-rounders, but it'll be a different story when Bakhtiari is at left tackle and Jenkins is at left guard. It's a totally different game.
It is, yeah. And, you know, Myers, I have a hard time believing that Bakhtiari will play Thursday night. Myers won't since he's on IR.
Right.
The offensive line wasn't good today. You know, Rodgers said as much. Pocket was collapsing early. A lot of pressure. Granted, Washington's defensive line has, you know, four first rounders. They're a good unit, but still, you know, you're about to face a team that has J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones. You gotta be able to block those guys off the edge too. But yeah, I think if anything, the good sign for the offense today was that the Packers got Robert Tonyan and Alan Lazard more involved than they have been this season. And as Rodgers said post-game, you know, if teams have to account for those guys more, it'll give Devontae more single coverage looks, which, you know, he's going to win most of those. So if Robert Tonyan and Alan Lazard can combine for 9 catches, 123 yards, and 2 touchdowns like they did today, if that means Devontae Adams gets 6-7 more looks versus single coverage in the passing game, that's a win in my eyes. I mean, everyone's talked about the dirty work that Alan Lazard and Robert Tonyan have done. And yes, it's very valuable to this team. But perhaps the most valuable thing they can do is help freeing up the best receiver in the league for more advantageous situations.
Yeah, those are damn good players. I think Lazard's really good. And I just go back to that playoff game here against the Rams where he lit them up. You know, the game at New Orleans in week 3 last year without Adams where he lit those guys up. He's a legit player. Again, you get the offensive line healthy, then you don't have to have Tonyan chipping guys like he's had to do fairly frequently this year. And we've talked about this in past podcasts. He's a really good player, and that he came into this game having done almost nothing, he had one touchdown, was a shock to me. I mean, I didn't expect 12 or 11 again. But he was so good in training camp, Matt, that I just figured he was going to catch 60 this year, and it just hasn't happened, partially because of circumstances. If you can get him rolling, that'd be a huge thing. I don't know if anyone's going to play Devontae less like Rodgers thought. I mean, obviously he knows more than I do, but If you're going to double Devontae, you've got to have someone capable of picking up the slack, and that was a hugely important step tonight or today.
No doubt, and especially because the running game was doing nothing today.
You know, they didn't even try.
And why should they? I mean, I understand that you have to run a couple times, so Washington can't just pin its ears back, grammar police right there, and just blitz every time because they know they're passing. Not blitz every time, but, you know, be more predictable on the Packers' end. But they have to run. But it just didn't get anywhere. You know, they had gone, I believe it was 100, 131, 134, and 154. 133 and 154. The Packers' team rushing totals for the last four games. It was non-existent today. Luckily for them, it didn't have to be. But against the Cardinals, if I'm the Packers, I want to see more of that play-action passing game. And to do that, you're going to need to establish the run way more than you did today. A.J. Dillon fumbled twice. That was not good. Aaron Jones has lost a fumble this year. They got to take care of the freaking ball, man.
Yes, they do.
I mean,
no doubt about that.
That's not good news right now. I know it's not really leading. It's not leading to losses, but it might sooner rather than later coming up against these teams that are a lot better than the ones you played already.
Yeah, Dillon had that one well inside the red zone. I mean, that's just, it's going to kill you. Looking at the numbers, they ran the ball 15 times, two riders scramble, so it's 13, an end around to St. Brown, so it's 12, and I think it was two garbage time runs by Kylin Hill, gets it down to 10. They had 10 true runs today. That is, I mean, and I get it. I mean, Washington's secondary stinks. One of their starting cornerbacks didn't play, so I get it. But yeah, you've got to do, you got to do better. Like you mentioned, Watt and Chandler Jones. If you're going to throw the ball all day against those guys, you know, and they might have to in a shootout, but you got to keep them honest somewhat.
Chandler Jones, Syracuse's finest.
He had 5 sacks in week one. I'm not sure what he did today, but he had nothing. I realize he's on the COVID list for some of that, but I know he entered today with 5 sacks.
Right. What do you expect from this Arizona game? You know, would I be surprised if the Packers won? Considering their injuries, yes. At full health, I would anticipate the Packers to win. But they're obviously not at full health. Will they have Marquez Valdez-Scantling? He didn't practice at all last week. I have a very hard time assuming he's going to get one light practice in and play. So no MVS.
Yep.
Probably no Jair. No Zadarius. You know, Preston was allegedly close to playing today. Will he be back? Will Kevin King be back? It's just a lot of key guys are missing. And can the listen, I didn't expect them to go into Santa Clara and beat the 49ers, but they did. They got out to a 17-0 lead. And like I said before that game, the Packers need to throw the first punch here, because if they get down 14-0, this offense, maybe it is built to, but in Matt LaFleur's tenure, they have shown, you know, an inability to rise out of big deficits early. So I think they have to strike first. I would even consider receiving if they win the toss to try and score a touchdown on their opening drive like they did today. And you got to be aggressive. You got to go for it on fourth downs. You got to throw the punch. You can't be conservative against the Cardinals, but you know, the biggest concern for me, if I'm the Packers, is who the hell is going to guard DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, Eric Stokes is a good player, and I think he is, but, you know, he had some nice plays against Terry McLaurin, who is on his way to becoming an elite receiver. I really do think so. DeAndre Hopkins is right up there with Devontae Adams for best receiver in the league. You know, that's going to be trouble. And then Kyler Murray running around, they let Heinicke run loose. What's going to happen if Kyler Murray gets loose?
Yeah, you know, Darius Slay, who played with Detroit for so long and knows Devontae Adams well, he was on some podcast the other day. I'm not sure who it was. He called Hopkins the best receiver in football. So take that for what it's worth. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, even if King plays, I mean, King, you were at practice this week, Matt. King did not look anywhere close to healthy.
Right.
Like, that shoulder seemed like you know, they go through these warm-ups and, you know, the coaches throw these challenging balls to the DBs for, you know, have to go make acrobatic catches. And they just kind of lobbed him in there. It's like they didn't want him to even stretch his arm out to catch a pass. So you got that. And, can he tackle with a bad shoulder? There's a lot of issues there. Stokes has been pretty good, but yeah, Stokes against Hopkins, not a great matchup. I think Sullivan's been pretty good lately, but who stops a scrambling Kyler Murray? Devondre Campbell's a hell of a
Devondre Campbell might.
I'm not exactly sure he's cut out for that part of it, you know?
Right.
That's not exactly his, even though his arms are like 15 feet long, which is kind of entertaining when he, if whenever teams throw a pass to him, even if it's caught, he just reaches out and grabs the guy. He's
right.
He's an amazing player, but I'm not sure he's cut out to stop Kyler Murray. But he did play with him in Arizona last
year.
So
you know who might
have
be?
Some intel.
Rashawn Gary might be. Because Rashawn Gary, I wrote a story this week about how, yeah, he's not finishing plays necessarily, but he's getting a lot of pressure. He's affecting plays. And today he finished. He had a sack and a half. He had the forced fumble that Dean Lowry recovered. Dean Lowry's playing well too. And I know it's cliche, but Rodgers said it today too. If you watch the tape, Rashawn Gary never gives up on plays. And that's not just like a cliche throwaway. It's he literally is in pursuit until the whistle blows and the play is over. And that's really important against a guy like Kyler Murray, who's going to be running all over the field. You got to have good pursuit. Yeah, it might get the guy tired, but I think Rashawn Gary's best equipped to chase him around and keep him in the pocket, to be honest with you. He really impressed me today. Devondre Campbell did as well. He's been a godsend for the Packers. Those two guys are going to be really important to keeping Kyler Murray in check on Thursday.
Yeah, you mentioned him running all around. It's getting Preston Smith back and then having Merciless here is huge just from the fatigue perspective, right? I mean, you're going to have your edge rushers running and running and running and running on a short week to have, if they can get Preston back, that'd be huge just to keep some legs fresh.
No doubt. I definitely agree. Packers can sleepwalk to this division. They're 6-1. Vikings are 3-3. They had a bye. Bears lost 38-3 to the Buccaneers today. So welcome to the club for the Packers who did the same last year. Lions are 0-7. They're out of it. Packers are going to win this division. They'll have a home playoff game. It's a matter of can they beat Arizona, which would be huge to securing that number one seed in that all-important bye that the Packers have had the last 2 years. We'll see, though.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's answer a couple questions. I've got one from Kevin Stallsberg. How significant is getting four red zone stops on defense without Jair, King, and the Smiths, even if it is the Washington football team? Yeah, like we touched on, I think you do have to take it with a grain of salt, but then that grain of salt is kind of wiped away by the fact that they're doing it with guys like Whitney Merciless, who has been here for 10 seconds, and Rasul Douglas, and, Shannon Sullivan's been around. I just haven't really seen it from him too much. You got guys like Ladarius Hamilton and Jonathan Garvin and Henry Black playing snaps. If the Packers are healthy, those guys aren't sniffing the field. I don't know which one it is. It's probably weird.
I hope they're not licking it.
Probably weird either way. Yeah, it probably shouldn't lick the field. But
all the chemicals on that turf.
You probably get sick.
That's not good.
You get my point. It is significant because it gives the Packers confidence that if they do have injuries in the future, these guys can step up so they don't go into panic mode. And it just gives fans and the team the optimism of the unknown of if we can do this with these guys, what can we do when we get our actual guys back?
Yeah, no doubt about that. To Kevin's point about the red zone stops and how significant it is, it's such a momentum-driven thing. All the sports are, right? You give up 15 straight touchdowns in the red zone. Today they get one red zone stop. Lucky as it might have been, and then they got 2, 3, and 4. So yeah, I think momentum's a big deal, and you have to get one at some point, and they got that, and then they were able to build on it, and then those last two red zone stops are really, really good. So, yeah, huge deal to feel like you can get stops with who's in there. Then when Jair comes back, and you know maybe Zadarius comes back, it's you're getting two game-changing guys at the end of the year. So, yeah, Kevin's absolutely right. Huge.
This is an interesting one from Joe O'Keefe. Maybe the offense and defense haven't played perfect games yet, but special teams are becoming a glaring issue. Are injuries to other positions causing a lack of consistency with a special teams unit, or are personnel changes imminent for the special teams unit? That's funny, because Matt LaFleur went out of his way today to say the special teams were great and did some great things today. I thought that was interesting. He specifically said the kickoff coverage was the best it's been, and I agree. You know, they were 30th in the league in opponent kickoff return yards average per game. You get the point. With 30.44 yards per kick return for opponents. And Washington brought DeAndre Carter in, their kick returner, who had the most kickoff return yards in the league entering this week. So they did some good stuff there. Yes, Mason Crosby's kick was brutal. Barely yes. got off the ground, but it was canceled out by TJ Slayton, a rookie fifth-round pick, blocking a field goal, taking 3 points off the board. So, and Corey Bojorquez might be the best damn player in the NFL. He's incredible. I know he had that one bad game in Cincinnati, but this guy's ability to punt with incredible hang time, 50-plus yards out of the back of his own end zone under pressure to force a fair catch is incredible. And then he used the Rob Domofsky pitching wedge to bounce one literally centimeters before the goal line and down them inside the five. That guy is a game changer.
His net today was 46-something or other. Yeah, the guy's a hell of a good punter. That one from backed up, I want to say Washington had a really good rush on that one, and he still drilled it. St. Brown had the coverage on that. It wasn't like a super good hang time punt, but he had distance, and St. Brown really covered some ground. He's a pretty damn good special teams player, St. Brown is. Never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, and he had – if you had told me, I would have seen – when I got to the stadium today, if you had said, Matt, you're going to see an equanimous St. Brown jet sweep for 13 yards and a first down, I would have said you're freaking crazy. But guess what? They're pulling out all the stops, and Rodgers made a point last week of saying he was really proud of St. Brown, really happy with him. You know, he had the key block to spring that Amari Rodgers first down up the sideline. They don't need him to catch passes. They need him to do little things here and there, like he did today, like he did last week. That's what the fifth, sixth receiver on the team should do. And he's doing it well after a brutal start to the season. So good role playing from him today. I'll give him that.
Yeah, they got to get that field goal issue figured out. I mean, Bojorquez might be the best punter in the history of mankind, but J.K. Scott was the best holder of all time. I'm not sure if it's Bojorquez is the problem there just with that transition. I'm going to assume that's probably the case, because I've never seen Crosby do that before. I mean, Tim Settle blocked that kick with his armpit, I think. That was brutal.
That's true. Loyal listener Cecilia J. Bugface, it's National Tight Ends Day. Can we have some love and appreciation for how Mercedes Lewis just does all the dirty work and then can never be tackled on his receptions? This dude might lead the league in yards after catch. It's incredible. He makes guys miss. He plows through people. He's obviously a mammoth of a human being, but Mercedes Lewis is a factor in the passing game more than he's been in years past, and that's lethal.
I will go with a reference that you probably won't understand, Matt, but some of our listeners will. Tecmo Bowl.
I know what that is.
If anybody had... Oh, well, okay, if you're not that old. Well, remember Bo Jackson?
Yeah.
Bo Jackson would get the ball, and like the defenders would just like bounce off of him. That's like Mercedes Lewis now. I thought about that during the game. It's like Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. He's like a semi going through a swarm of mosquitoes, just shoving guys out of the way. He's probably averaging 8 or 9 yak per catch, though. It's pretty amazing.
That is crazy.
Oldest tight end in football.
Woo! From Brian, at Tundra Walker 00. Is that the worst the passing pocket will look this season? Yes. You better hope so. You better hope it doesn't get worse than that, because that wasn't great. You know, Rodgers can still move outside the pocket. He stepped up and ran for a first down, even though he said someone tried to trip him again. But Yeah, it's got to be better than that. That's one of the they've had a brutal stretch of defensive lines they've had to face, and this one might be among the best of the bunch with Jonathan Allen, Chase Young, Daron Payne. They've got a good bunch over there, and it was rough for the Packers.
Maybe it is the best.
Go ahead.
Just because I would say maybe it is the best, just because all four of those guys can rush the passer. Like Rodgers has said forever, and I think probably every quarterback agrees that if it's just pressure coming from the edge, you can handle that because your tackles can push those guys past, and you can step up in the pocket. Well, with Allen and Payne, there's no pocket to step into, so those four guys can just collapse the pocket, and we saw that when Rodgers just has nowhere to go. So I would say that it probably is the best D-line they'll face from that perspective. So I think Brian's fears are probably going to rest easy because they'll not face a better group than that.
That's true.
Here's one from Kevin Heimerdinger. What's more concerning on Thursday, Arizona's defense or containing Kyler Murray? They struggle to contain Tyler Heinicke, who isn't as mobile as Kyler.
Definitely Arizona's offense and trying to contain them with the injuries the Packers have on defense. I think Kyler Murray, as we've talked about, and not to mention they just traded for Zach Ertz, who's a Pro Bowl caliber tight end who can really cause some damage. So you have Christian Kirk, you have DeAndre Hopkins, Zach Ertz, Chase Edmonds, Kyler Murray. It's going to be a tall task. The Cardinals defense has been good recently. You know, they let up 5 points to the Texans today. Texans stink, though. 14 to the Browns. They're not great either. 10 to the 49ers. Also not great. 20. Actually, you know, Cardinals defense is pretty good now that I'm looking at the scores. They haven't allowed over 20 points in the last five games. All right, never mind. Yeah, Cardinals defense pretty damn good. So is their offense. That's probably why they haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah, Arizona scored 31 plus in six out of those seven games, and it is so much easier to – this is like Mike McCarthy era football. It's so much easier to play defense when you're up 14-0 and the other team knows they have to score, and therefore you know they're going to throw the ball. It is just a different way of playing football. So, yes, I will say Arizona's offense is the bigger challenge because I think the defense just kind of feeds into things.
Yeah. Let's do a couple more.
Todd Cross. Last year, almost no injuries and a stellar start. This year, lots of injuries and a 6-1 start. However, had some luck and bounces. Is this a 6-1 team with injuries and luck, or not as good as the record indicates, but with their best team yet to hit the field?
I think it's a good sign. You know, Aaron Rodgers joked today, but it wasn't a joke. A coach's favorite thing is for their team to win, but still have things to correct. The Packers are 6-1 with clear flaws, but they're winning. And you look at some of the teams they're beating, the Bengals just blew the Ravens out of Baltimore, out of their home stadium. And Baltimore looked like, you know, a top three team in the NFL. Yes, it's a week-to-week league, but this reminds me of 2 years ago, 2019, when the Packers were winning ugly. And then they went to San Francisco and got blown out. You know, and we kind of knew going into that NFC title game against the 49ers, we probably know how this is going to go since there's a clear gap between the 49ers and everyone else. If the Packers go into Arizona and get blown out, I don't think I would have the same feeling just because the Packers wouldn't have David Bakhtiari, Za'Darius Smith, Jaire Alexander, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Josh Myers, like maybe Kevin King, maybe Preston Smith. There are a lot of guys still missing that if the Packers were to get there, hypothetically speaking, in an NFC title game with the Cardinals, it would be a different story. So regardless of what happens, if the Packers lose, whether it's close or by a lot, I don't think you can put too much stock in that against the Cardinals. If they win, definitely put stock in that. But I don't think a loss means all that much other than it's a knock to the Packers' chances for home field advantage. You just can't judge them when they have this many injuries. And yes, I wouldn't say they've gotten lucky. I'd say they have great depth. I think Brian Gutekunst has done a great job filling the bottom end of this roster with guys who are contributing. Aaron Rodgers, I know this is an aside here, Aaron Rodgers went out of his way twice in the same answer on a question I asked him about Rashawn Gary to heavily praise the signing of Whitney Mercilus. Aaron Rodgers is coming back next year.
Yeah, I noticed that too. When Rodgers really wants to make a point, he will answer a question that was not asked, or he'll answer it in a way that was different than what was asked.
Right.
So, yeah, I got four questions lined up, Matt. Most of them are funny, though, so we can kind of fire through these. First of all, the more serious question from John Jansen. Who can we expect, hope to see on Thursday who did not play today?
That's a good question. I'll say Preston Smith plays. I'll say Kevin King plays. I tend to think those two guys were just, let's try and get through. They never say it, but let's try and get through Washington and have them ready for Thursday night. No MVS, no Bakhtiari, no Jair. I'm interested to see if Dominique Daphne will play. That could be a little helpful to special teams and the offense. He's been practicing. It hasn't been activated yet off IR, but he's eligible to come back. I think they get Preston and Kevin back, but let's not bite off more than we can chew. Bakhtiari will be back for the Chiefs game, I'm assuming. We just don't know about Jair and Zadarius. Obviously, the defense is two best players. Probably you can throw Kenny Clark in there too, but yeah, I think Kevin and Preston.
Yeah, I agree with that. This will be right up your alley, Matt, from Captain America. Is the MVS Kenny Clark feud the funniest one in the locker room?
Oh man, it,
you follow this closely.
It's hilarious. The funniest thing was how they tweeted pictures of, you know, what each other looked like the other day, and you saw me in the media auditorium when Kenny said, "Here are some pictures of my guy MVS," and one of the pictures was Packers running backs coach Ben Sermons, who looks like MVS. Man, I lost my mind. That was hilarious. It's funny because, you know, we don't cover it per se, but anytime you get to see a little bit of the personality of these guys, it's fun for us. It's even more fun for fans. I would say Kenny won that Twitter battle. I thought MVS clapped back with some good lookalikes. He said, "Here are some selfies that Kenny Clark has sent me." He sent like a picture of Smokey the Bear, a Hungry Hungry Hippos box. It was pretty damn funny. But that Ben Sermons picture just killed me, man. That was hilarious.
That was amazing. Mike Arena, after Favre, what's the most monumental Packers trade, and why is it the Bohorquez trade? That's a great question, Mike. I kind of asked this in a humorous manner at the press conference with him a few weeks ago, but he's legit the best punter I've ever seen. Obviously, that is like picking the tallest jockey at Churchill Downs. But he is the best punter by miles and miles and miles. He is a weapon.
He is a weapon, man.
For a sixth-round draft pick, right?
Woo!
That's a steal.
And it's a great move. And how many times did you see J.K. Scott do what Bohorquez alone did today? Back out of the back of the end zone and, you know, landing the one inside the five. That's a season's work for J.K. Scott. No disrespect to J.K., it's just the facts. Bohorquez is a weapon. I know you never want to see him on the field if you're the Packers, but that's a great trade. I would trade a draft pick for that any day. Let's get one more.
I hate to use a draft pick on a punter because you get what happens with J.K. Scott, but that's... I totally get you, but when you nail it, you nail it.
I meant Lambeau trade a West, draft pick, yeah.
Yeah, I got what you mean.
Same thing.
Lambeau West, great way to wrap up. Does Tom Brady co-own the Bears? Nice question.
Tom Brady ripped the Bears a new one today, man. He threw four touchdowns in the first half. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady ownership group. I'm looking up Tom Brady's final stat line today, and I know Packer fans are probably already turning this off because we're finishing up with a Tom Brady joke. But let's see his stat line today. 38-3, 20 for 36, 211, four touchdowns. Okay, so he did everything in the first half. Leonard Fournette, 15 for 81 and a touchdown, helped my fantasy team out. Co-ownership group, I could see that. Tom Brady made a joke about that earlier this week on a Sirius XM show. He congratulated Rodgers on his ownership of the Bears. Just a couple old man cracking jokes, right? A couple dad jokes.
God bless him.
God bless him.
All right, that's it.
That's it. That's how you end a podcast. That's how you know we're professionals at this. So we'll talk to you guys on a short week, Thursday night. It'll be late as heck in Arizona. Actually, it'll be late as heck here, less late in Arizona. I'll be there. Bill will be watching from the comfort of his own home. We appreciate you guys as always. Thanks for listening.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.